This is Morning Air.
This is about educating a people that for 40 years haven't been given the full truth. It's time now to speak the truth.
When you do things to the best of your ability, keeping Jesus number one and doing everything you possibly can for His glory, that's a winner.
You are called to make the light of Christ shine brightly in the world.
Bringing the light of Christ to start your day.
This is Morning Air with John Morales on Relevant Radio.
4 minutes after the hour, it's Thursday, June 17th. Good morning, buenos dias, and welcome back to this hour of Morning Air. I'm John Morales along with Glenn Leverance. Thanks so much for joining us. It's always a great joy to be with you once again here on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app as we bring the light of Christ to start your day. Thursday is also the day of the week in the Catholic Church devoted to the Holy Eucharist, the day that our Lord Jesus Christ instituted the Holy Eucharist. Our number, if you want to be part of the program, 888-914-9149. That's 888-914-9149. Now, coming up in a few minutes, we'll be joined by His Excellency Bishop Donald Hine, the Bishop of the Diocese of Madison, Wisconsin, who will join us to give us an update on the U.S. Conference of Catholic Bishops spring meetings, which are going on this week. A little bit later in the show, our spiritual director today, Father James Kubicki, will join us to discuss spiritual fatherhood as we get ready for Father's Day this Sunday. And we'll also bring you another edition of Glenn's Story Corner a little later. All that and much more coming up this hour here on Morning Air. And we start each hour and each day giving thanks to the Lord through the intercession of the Mother of God, our Blessed Mother Mary. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Our Lady of Guadalupe, patroness of the Americas, of life, and of Relevant Radio, pray for us. St. Joseph, in this year of St. Joseph, pray for us. St. John Paul II, co-patron of Relevant Radio, pray for us. And we always invoke the Holy Spirit when we pray. Come, Holy Spirit, come. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. And we continue to pray as we've been doing for such a long time. We pray for our shepherds as the U.S. Conference of Catholic Bishops continue their annual meetings, and we continue to pray for peace and unity in our nation. Our power scripture from the Playbook of Life is from 2 Corinthians 12, 9 and 10. The Apostle St. Paul writes, "My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. I will all the more gladly boast of my weaknesses, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. For the sake of Christ, then I am content with weaknesses, insults, hardships, persecutions, and calamities. For when I am weak, then I am strong." Folks, this is one of my favorite scripture verses of all time. When I first joined Relevant Radio way back in 2003, I was given a holy card of our suffering Lord Jesus during his agony in the garden. On the back of the card was this powerful verse to remind me that God's grace is all that we need. No matter what the challenge, no matter what the hardship, his grace is sufficient. When we feel really weak, as we all do sometimes, like we feel like we just can't go on, that's when we are really strong in Christ, if we trust in the Lord with all of our heart. We always finish praying, Jesus, I trust in you. Our number, 888-914-9149. That's 888-914-9149. Now, as we've been talking about for days, the bishops from all over the country are meeting virtually this week for the annual U.S. Conference of Catholic Bishops Spring General Assembly. To give us an update of what's going on in these meetings, we are so blessed. What a privilege to have Bishop Donald Hine from the Diocese of Madison, Wisconsin, joining us here on Morning Air. Bishop Donald Hine is the fifth bishop of the Diocese of Madison. He was an auxiliary bishop of the Archdiocese of Milwaukee, Wisconsin, from 2011 to 2015, and the Bishop of the Diocese of Gary, Indiana, from 2015 to 2019. Your Excellency, Bishop Hine, thanks so much for joining us this morning. It's a great joy to be with you.
Hey, good morning, John. It's great to be with you, and great to meet you on the phone this morning. So That's great.
Absolutely. This is the first time this former sports reporter gets a time to talk to you, Your Excellency.
Well, it's always a blessing to be on Relevant Radio, and the reach of Relevant Radio is a great inspiration to me. There's so many people I talk to that would say they've come back to the faith or they've learned more about the faith because of the programming right here.
And, Your Excellency, our mission, of course, is to bring Christ to the world through the media, but we also serve give the bishops a platform, and that's exactly what we're doing here, giving you a platform so that you can tell us what's going on. Can you update us on the main action items and some of the objectives of the USCCB General Assembly that's going on this week that started yesterday?
Yes, some of the major points, Shen, would be there's an ongoing renewal of the Liturgy of the Hours, piece by piece. So I think by 2025, there'll be a whole new Liturgy of the Hours in terms of translations and songs and antiphons. For listeners that may not know what that is, it's the daily prayer of the church. Certainly lay people can pray it, but clerics are vowed to pray it. And it's a collection of the psalms and scripture readings and prayers that you pray throughout the day. So there's that. There's a document on supporting marriage and family that's been in the works for a while, so that's moving forward as well. It's also the approval of several causes for canonization of, I think, a priest and a brother. Of course, what's getting most of the attention is the proposal to formulate a document on the Eucharist, the beauty of the Eucharist, the centrality of the Eucharist, but also, as we all know, a lot of discussion lately about Eucharistic coherence, in light of the fact that we have Catholic president and other Catholic political leaders who have taken a radical stance on abortion, and that puts us in a challenging position. What to say about that? How to move forward with that? So I think the difference of opinion among the bishops is when to have the substantive discussion. So the vote yesterday was to go forward with the agenda as planned. So most of us would say, let the doctrine committee formulate the draft of a document that we would debate, discuss, and vote on in November. So let's have the discussion, let's have the document created as a draft and then have the discussion. I think minority of bishops want to have the substantive discussion before the decision is even made to allow a draft to be formulated. So there was a vote regarding the agenda on that question yesterday, and the movement went forward to at least have the agenda as planned. So today there'll be another discussion on that action item.
Your Excellency, Bishop Hine, what was the tone of day one of the meetings yesterday as you began to discuss some of these important action items?
It's hard because it's online. I think no one likes being in a Zoom session. It's just not the same as being in person. And there are some technical glitches. So everybody's trying to do their best. I mean, certainly we pray together. We realize these are central issues before us. There's differences of opinion, but I think all of us certainly take our role as bishops seriously and want to do the right thing for the church, right?
If you have a specific question for Bishop Donald Hying about these meetings of the USCCB, you can give us a call. Our number, 888-914-9149. That's 888-914-9149. Why is it important for the bishops to meet twice a year under normal conditions when we're not meeting virtually because of the pandemic?
Yeah, I think there's so many issues before the church today in terms of evangelization, in terms of passing on the faith, in terms of youth formation, youth engagement. When we look at the enormous charitable work of the Catholic Church throughout the United States, I'm the national chaplain for the St. Vincent de Paul Society. I see the great work they do. You think of the Knights of Columbus, think of Catholic Charities. The reach of the Catholic Church in the United States is enormous. And so for us bishops to come together and think through these things, talk through these things, formulate documents, do catechetical materials. I mean, hopefully some of that at least reaches the people in the pew. There's certainly a lot to talk about and a lot to ponder and pray over.
Excellency, obviously the mainstream media has jumped over the controversy involving our president and the Holy Eucharist. But, you know, let the mainstream media deal with that. I think for us in the church as Catholics, this is a golden opportunity to focus on the clear teachings of our Catholic faith when it comes to the Eucharist. Mm-hmm. Can you give us a thumbnail on some of the conditions that we should be aware of to be able to receive Holy Communion in a worthy fashion?
Yeah, I think certainly to come to the Eucharist with this receptivity of faith, you know, that we believe in the Eucharist, we love the Lord in the Eucharist, so this receptivity of heart, this sincerity of faith. Number two, to have observed the fast of at least 1 hour before receiving. And then thirdly, certainly to be free at least of mortal sin, that to our knowledge, we don't have mortal sin in our soul that has not been confessed and absolved. And in that manner, we can, you know, come forward. And of course, none of us are worthy to receive the Lord at all, but those would be the conditions to say we're in this prime spiritual place where the efficaciousness of the Eucharist can be effective within us.
Excellency, shared a video on social media from your series, A Moment with the Bishop, on how we celebrate Mass, how we enter into the sacrifice of Jesus in Calvary. Can you give us a thumbnail of that video and some of your teaching on the Holy Eucharist?
Yeah, I was just talking about different images of the Eucharist. You know, the Eucharist for us is so rich, so deep, so central to our faith that just as you turn a diamond and see different facets of it, so we can do that with the mighty gift of the Eucharist that the Lord has given us. So certainly the central one is sacrifice, you know, that we think of Jesus' sacrifice on the cross, that he completely gave himself body, soul, mind, and heart, you know, for the sake of our salvation, to the last drop of his blood. And so we are saved from sin and death through the power of Jesus' sacrifice and that self-gift. So the Mass is the sacramental continuation in time and space of that sacrifice. So when we celebrate the Mass, when we enter into the Mass, where we're sharing in that complete offering of self of Jesus to the Father. So that's reflected in the prayers of the Mass. If you listen carefully, we're praying to the Father through Jesus in the Holy Spirit. And the gift of Mass is that we come and symbolically in the bread and wine, we lay on the altar the sacrifice of our lives, you know, our prayer, our work, our suffering, our joy, and that becomes consecrated, you know, in the mystery of the bread and wine becoming transformed into the body and blood of Christ. So we share in that great offering of the Son to the Father, and that's at the very center of our faith. I also talked about...
started to give out the number. If anybody who's listening, who really cares about what's going on with these meetings with the USCCB, if they want to give an opinion or ask a question for His Excellency Bishop Donald Hine, the Bishop of the Diocese of Madison, Wisconsin, our number, 888-914-9149. That's 888-914-9149. Bishop, the Archbishop of San Francisco, Salvatore Corleone, spoke recently about this major effort to re-catechize Catholics on the Holy Eucharist and the worthiness to receive communion, something which obviously is being addressed. Do you agree that we really need to re-catechize Catholics and we need a Eucharistic renewal?
Absolutely. It'd be at the heart of any renewal of the Church. I've always believed, and I always say, if every Catholic understood and believed the Eucharist, our churches would be overflowing, not just on Sundays, but every day. And I remember a discussion I had with an evangelical pastor maybe 25 years ago now, and we were discussing John chapter 6, you know, the great Eucharistic discourse in which Jesus says, I am the bread of life, all of that beautiful narrative. And I'll never forget something he said to me. He said, if I believed in the Eucharist as you Catholics do, I would be coming up the aisle on my knees to receive the Lord. And, you know, if I believed, and I still pray for him that he comes to faith. You know, so for us, the Eucharist changes everything, because Jesus is not simply the pious memory of a good and holy man who lived 2,000 years ago. He's alive sacramentally in the Eucharist, not to remain on the altar, not to remain in the tabernacle, but to enter into our very flesh. So I don't think we can ever forget that on Holy Thursday night, just hours before Jesus' arrest and trial and death, he was thinking of us. He was thinking, what is the most efficacious way that I can stay with my people until the end of time? And the answer to that question is the Eucharist. So literally, when we receive the Eucharist worthily in grace and in faith, the fullness of Jesus Christ abides within us. There's nothing more intimate than that communion. And that's at the very center of Catholicism. So imagine if every baptized Catholic went to Mass every week. I mean, that would change the world. That would change the course of human events. You know, think of what would flow from that experience and that unity.
Bishop Hine, how would a Eucharistic renewal look? What would an all-out effort by our shepherds look like in our country if we could really get the church in America really excited, really fired up about this teaching that we've had since the very beginning of the church of the true presence in the Holy Eucharist?
I think part of it is catechesis. You know, how do we catechize from the pulpit? How do we focus on an effective catechesis on the Eucharist to our young people and our children? Part of it is certainly our renewal of the liturgy in terms of just our understanding of it, our prayerfulness in it, our participation in the Mass, certainly more adoration, more Eucharistic processions, but also just a joyful invitation to all the Catholics who are essentially disengaged from the Church to come back. So here in the Diocese of Madison, we're embracing an evangelizing initiative called Go Make Disciples. And it's not a program. It's not a three-year project. It's a way just to hopefully drink deeply of the Holy Spirit and then really actively seek to allow the Lord to form us, those who are leaders, those who are engaged, so in turn we can go out and engage others. So in my mind, it's giving practicing Catholics both the competence and confidence to engage other people in their life about faith. And really, it comes down to the Eucharist. Because when Catholics leave the Catholic Church to go to Protestant churches or to go to nothing in terms of religion, they're walking out on the Eucharist. And they don't know who they're walking out on. And all of that needs to be a joyful re-engagement to bring them back to the Eucharistic Christ.
In the last hour, we talked about the importance of educating young people, specifically in college students, about the true presence in the Holy Eucharist. What can we do as a church? What can the bishops do to make a specific outreach to our youth to get them on board with the teachings of the true presence?
I think it really comes down to, you know, ultimately one-on-one. So can... Again, how can we equip the people that already believe and practice to strategically look at the people in their lives and say, how can I give witness to the people in my life about my love for the Lord, my participation in the church, my devotion to the Eucharist, my belief in the Eucharist? So imagine if every practicing Catholic, just let's say every 5 years, reengages or brings in one other person. I mean, theoretically, we'd be doubling the numbers of practicing Catholics every 5 years if everybody just did one person in terms of cultivating faith, witnessing faith, establishing a relationship, a friendship. That's what evangelicals do. You know, they're probably busily cultivating three or four people in their life. You're buying them a Bible, listening to their problems, praying with them, bringing them to Bible study, bringing them to church. So we need that active sense of an evangelizing fervor centered on the Eucharist that comes to our priests, our pastors, and ultimately our people.
Bishop Hine, young people are leaving the church as we know it. That's no secret. What can we expect of this new national pastoral framework for youth and young adults that the bishops are working on?
Yeah, I have to confess, I'm not as knowledgeable about it as I should be. Yeah, I think any effort is always well-intentioned. Again, I think it comes down to, you know, what happens on the very local level, and that really comes down to families, you know, parents. And yeah, I think we all know that you know, if both parents are formed in the faith and practicing the faith, you know, their children are going to have a far higher chance of practicing the faith themselves. So in my opinion, if we're going to reach our youth and young adults, it really comes down to how do we equip parents to profoundly live their marriage, be the domestic church in their home, form their children in the faith, and to give them practical means to be able to do that. So we have at least two generations now that have been poorly catechized, and really, even if they want to, don't always know how to fully and effectively, you know, raise their children in the faith. So I think that renewal needs to take place with parents and with marriage and family. And that's why the document on marriage and family, I think, is really important.
Excellency, we have less than 2 minutes left in this segment. Just a quick word on the pastoral framework for marriage and family life ministry called Call to the Joy of Love is the name of this document. Can you tell us just a little bit about that?
It's really hoping to give some practical help to priests, to lay leaders who work with marriage preparation, engaged couples, but also reaching out to families and married persons that are in crisis. Just really giving them practical ways to assist and to actively be with married couples. So when I was a parish priest, I did Saturday night gatherings of married couples, and it was a prayer fellowship, but also catechesis on marriage and family. And it wasn't couples that were in trouble or crisis. It was just a way to make good marriages better. So I think the document's very practical to help us with that.
Well, Your Excellency, it's been a joy to be with you. Thank you so much for your insights and your update on these all-important spring meetings of the U.S. Conference of Catholic Bishops. Thank you, Bishop Hine.
Well, thanks, John. Always a blessing to be on the show. God bless you. Thanks.
God bless you, too. Bishop Donald Hine, the Bishop of the Diocese of Madison, Wisconsin. If you want to watch the live stream of the bishops' meetings, you can go to usccb.org/meetings, and you can find out the schedule for today and tomorrow to be able to watch it live. We're going to take a short break. When we come back, Morning Air contributor and our spiritual director today, Father James Kubicki, will join us to discuss spiritual fatherhood as we get ready for Father's Day this Sunday. But in a moment, we have the Gospel of the Day from the 6th chapter of the Gospel of St. Matthew. Stay with us. There's much more to come on this edition of Morning Air on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.
This is today's Gospel reading from the New American Bible.
Matthew chapter 6, verses 7 through 15. Jesus said to his disciples, "In praying, do not babble like the pagans, who think that they will be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them. Your Father knows what you need before you ask Him. This is how you are to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. If you forgive others their transgressions, your heavenly Father will forgive you. But if you do not forgive others, neither will your Father forgive your transgressions."
You can find all the daily readings at relevantradio.com/gospel or tap the prayer tab on the Relevant Radio app.
Now, I know we have a lot of men out there who pray the rosary with us every evening, and I want to compliment you because all these men out there, they imitate St. Joseph.
Your child will need a father. I will declare him as my own.
Did you figure that out, Margaret?
Yes.
St. Joseph, he didn't say a whole lot. He just got things done. Same way with the men. They don't call in, but I know they're there, and they're imitating St. Joseph.
The Family Rosary Across America with Father Rocky. 7 p.m. Central on Relevant Radio.